October 28, 2018, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Sunday. Brother Matt had to endure loss with the Dodgers last night to the Bo Sox. And he's just getting back from his journey, so I know only once this past summer, Brother Matt. Very busy since his retirement. But I'm not completely alone. I'm here in my Pedro pad, but thanks to the engineers in Estonia for coming up with the Skype software, I got Jared Bravson with me from
Port Townsend, Washington. Yes, we're that's like a little bit northwest of Seattle.
Sure, sure. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, lots of beautiful islands and stuff like that. I want to check out more. Where have I been around there? There's a submarine base, right? It's not as far north as Bellingham, but
no, it's more west than Bellingham. Yeah, out on the Olympic Peninsula.
Yeah. I can't think of the name, but anyway, very pretty place up there, and a little bit of rain. But that's why that's why it's so green. Jared, I should say what we played John Coltrane Impressions live in Philly in 1961, and then Solvents with Memory Shreds. And Solvents is your band. I think I met you and your wife. We were opening for X at the Showbox.
Yep.
Music Box.
Totally.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to close that place or save it.
Yeah, they're closing it and saving it, I guess, at the same time. It's kind of a bummer, but it's people want to turn it into condos, apparently.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. That happened to the, even in West Hollywood with the House of Boosh thing. They tore it down for, condos.
But there's a bunch of people coming together to try and save it. So, and it seems like that, the effort's going pretty well as far as I can tell. So hopefully it'll work out.
Well, what's your earliest music memory?
Mine? I guess my first memory is musical, and it is, I'm watching TV with my mom, and suddenly Kiss came on, and my mom quickly got up in disgust and turned the channel.
You're talking about the rock band Kiss, New York City.
Yes, the rock band Kiss, yeah. And just kind of seeing her react to that in that way, and being really fascinated with what I was seeing and hearing for that brief, couple seconds that I got to check it out. That was the beginning of it, I guess. Yeah.
I saw Kiss, maybe four or five times before they had an album out. Yeah. They opened up for everybody down here in the, early mid 70s. And I remember when the album finally did come out, and it was so slow, the tempo,
Compared to them live?
Yeah. Well, all I knew about them was live. We taped something off the radio. There was a broadcast of one of their things. But I mean, they would play with everybody. Wishbone Ash.
Yeah.
Savoy Brown. I mean, interesting. I saw the five-man version of the James Gang with them. So, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Was there anybody in your house? Did you guys have instruments? Was there players or listeners?
No, not at all. My parents are both artists, though. My mom's a painter, and my dad is a wood carver, and they're just kind of crafty people. But they had a pretty decent record collection. So I was blessed to have that.
And, but they didn't play, they didn't have like a piano or a guitar sitting around or stuff like that.
No, and that's all I wanted, wanted to.
Well, what about the school?
I've gravitated more towards choir.
Okay, but that's still music. So
you did have
music in school. Okay, that's great. And so you did choir.
Yeah.
Did you do the marching band thing or jazz band?
No, my parents were pretty broke growing up, so I mean I think I kind of had to do choir just because we couldn't afford instruments really.
Okay, well some schools actually have instruments and you get to borrow them. Some don't.
Yeah, I think I think at our school, like, we had to rent them or something.
I wouldn't doubt it. I've done some benefits for this Castellar grade school in Chinatown because, yeah, Martin Wong puts these things together because there's no money for the kids to do music.
So, I know, it's really sad.
It's one reason why Flea started his conservatory music in Silver Lake was he went back to Fairfax High where he learned trumpet, you know, and they had no more music program. So that's why I asked stuff about that. Okay, so, mm-hmm. I mean, you eventually get on the guitar. So how'd that happen?
Nirvana... Nirvana Nevermind came out, and I think I was probably about 15 when that happened. So I basically just, you know, pestered, and finally my mom, you know, took me to a music store and got me a, you know, PV Predator guitar and a little like 20-watt Fender, and that was it.
Was one of these things, if I get you this guitar, you're going to have to take lessons?
No, not really. I think she just wanted me to kind of stop bugging her, you know?
Okay, so you didn't have lessons, like autodidact?
No, I didn't. I just sort of started, you know, trying to figure it out myself. And then I had good friends who were older who were in bands and stuff, and they would, you know, share their riffs with me and sort of push me in the right direction.
I should have asked you, what was the first record you bought yourself?
The first record that I bought myself, Huey Lewis and the News.
Yeah.
Sports. I think I was in second grade.
Kind of wave. What about the first gig you went to?
The first gig I went to was Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm a big Beatles fan, and my uncle is a touring light director. He's toured with a bunch of different people, and that's how he actually got into that show. He was touring with Ringo, and he got us tickets.
Oh man, well, big thanks to your uncle. I want to play.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
I want to play Deep Creek.
Sit. drunk on power, dirty tears, tiny covers. You would not act like this in front of your kids.
No!
You would not act like this in front of your kids.
No!
You say that you don't like my attitude. It's true, I made it just for me and not for you. Boo-hoo! You can cry until your face turns blue. You knew that I would be the one to watch you lose. Woohoo! Your back's against the wall, what will you do? I would join RN if I were you. We always stick together like a glue. It's true, there are many more of us than you. Downfall, drunk on power, dirty fist, tiny cover. You would not act like this in front of your kids.
No!
Just fuck it up. All this violence, fuck it up. The rest of us have had enough. Hey, just fuck it up. Populism, lock it up. Fuck corruption, lock it up. Enough.
See through me.
When you're really scared, staring into space, look into the mirror and see my face.
For Pedro Show, that was Deep Crit Solvents and the Apps Guide to Stress Free Living, Bad Apples from Pussy Riot with David Sitek, Bullets Are Balloons, they're from your state, I think in the east though, Spokanistan, Dog Cookie Sandwich, Bullets Are Balloons, MB Jones, I'm Your Chameleon, and finally, Maya and the Revolutionary Hell Yeah, with Time is a Valuable Thing. So, in school, at the in the music class, choir, you probably did things like the Christmas stuff and Easter or whatever, graduation, things like that. But what about, like you were saying, with your friends, you know, the garage, bedroom, basement band kind of thing?
Yeah, we just we started trying to. I immediately wanted to be a. What's that?
You were saying you wanted to be.
Oh, I wanted to be a songwriter right off the bat. So
why is that?
I was trying to form and stuff. I sort of took that role.
Why is that?
Because I liked poetry, I guess. I had an eighth grade teacher who told me I was, you know, a good poet, and I just sort of ran with that. And once the music came in there, it seemed pretty, I wanted to put songs together and figure out how to do it.
Okay. And you had some buddies. What was the first band you had?
The first band I had was the first real band I had. Let's see. We were called the Earls. And we were kind of trying to do a Ramones thing.
And these are guys that you went to school with?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. And did you play any gigs?
We did a few gigs, yeah, for sure. They're pretty.
What was the first one like?
Pretty much not very good.
First one. What was the first one?
The first one?
Yeah, we can't talk at the same time. Okay,
yeah.
That's what's happening. If you talk, the Skype cancels out. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the first gig like?
Super frightening and super exciting, and just kind of a mess and really fun and it definitely was like, you know, I want to do this again and again and again.
What was the situation? Was it a kegger or birthday party or talent show or what?
It was at this place here called the Palindrome. That's like this sort of big barn sort of thing that the Flying Karamazov brothers used to like practice in, juggling and whatnot. And they owned the spot and you could rent that place for next to nothing. And so we would just put on punk shows in there.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah, real fun.
So you actually put on your first gig?
Yeah, we put on our first shows for sure. I mean, we were like pretty motivated, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And then just the way things went, you could do that more and more. I've noticed people a little more younger than me. Yeah, they motivated, get things happening. Also, there's resources. It was such a mystery when I was a teenager and shit. I had no idea. I didn't even know about clubs till the movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just terrible. All I knew was arena rock. So
right.
Okay. How long the Earls? Did the Earls record?
No.
Okay. So that played itself out. And then what? What was next for you with music that way?
I was just always trying to play. You know, like I just wanted to. That's all I wanted to do. So I just kept either jumping into other people's stuff or putting my own stuff together and.
Did you
and just the, learning how
to yeah, like get the four-track thing and start sound-on-sound stuff?
Yeah, I got a Tascam and you know, some cheap Radio Shack mics and started figuring out how to multi-track and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And so how does the Solvents eventually happen?
Well, it did sort of start out with me in a four-track, and then eventually Emily and I connected musically and decided that we should, you know, be partners and start a band.
Yeah, people, with Jared there is Emily. So I think she's making a little bit of noise, but she ain't speaking yet, but she will. So this name... Solvents,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, how'd it come about?
I don't know. I just saw it on a sign, and I thought, oh, that's cool. It's kind of, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of Pavement, you know what I mean? And I was sort of a big Pavement fan at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly.
No, you know, it's crazy how...
sounds kind of... What's that?
It's crazy how names come up around anyway, so it don't matter. I think actually Ramones was a name that Paul McCartney used when he checked into hotels. Right?
Oh, yeah?
Paul Ramone, yeah, or something like that.
Paul Ramone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where they got their name from, Paul McCartney's fake name. Names come from all over things. I was just curious about Solvents. So, Solvents, actually, it was kind of Man Alone, and then you bring Emily in, and you become the Solvents.
Yeah, essentially. That's kind of how it worked.
She's a violin player?
Yeah, absolutely.
Violinist. Okay. So, and at first, what you guys do, you, of course, came up with tunes and stuff, probably on the Tascam.
Yeah. Well, by that time, I'd gotten a 12-track standalone hard disk recorder.
Oh, okay.
And that's sort of what we started working with. And actually, we still work with it. We still have the same one from, 15 years ago.
Wow. Well, what was the first Solvents gig like?
What do you think? Can you think of it? The first time? Well, we kind of tried to start it. At first, we thought we were going to be a country band, sort of. I was really into, Uncle Tupelo and stuff at the time. And we were trying to be sort of country, and I couldn't hack it. I couldn't write those songs, you know? So we decided to not do that and just to be our own, try to just not worry about being anything, you know?
You mean genre-wise, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, my understanding is music is music. It's rhythm, it's notes, it's lyrics, it's all kinds of stuff, but it don't really have to be about labels. I think it was the marketing guys. I mean, that's one of the points of my show here is to show people there's millions of ways to do this. Probably for every person doing it, there's a different way. Yeah.
Every single person does it different. And that's what it really, keeps me interested and still, so fascinated with it.
So you're telling me the first gig was trying to be like a country band?
Yeah, we played this. It was a street fair.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to write these country songs, and then we were really into Graham Parsons too, so we did a bunch of Graham Parsons covers and Flying Burrito Brothers and stuff like that, and that stuff was cool, but the original country tunes that I was trying to come up with were just not, I just couldn't hack it, I couldn't do it, so we decided to. Yeah, but the gig was cool. I mean, we had a good time.
And was it just a two-piece? Was it just a duet, or did you have other people with you?
It was just the two of us.
Okay. And this is 15 years ago, right?
Yeah. Believe it or not, yeah.
No, I believe it. So you decide, I'm just going to write songs. I'm not going to worry about
it. That was it. I just wanted to write tunes and write good songs, and not really worry about it, what they are, just sort of let them happen,
And what about this latest album? Because it's kind of varied.
Yeah, I was really into, I wanted to do something that was catchy and poppy, I guess. And I don't know, I've been on a real kind of Cheap Trick, Big Star, Guided by Voices vibe over the last couple of years. And I just wanted it to sort of be like that,
Okay. Yeah, because when you go into making an album, do you make the tunes for the album? Or they come out just as tunes, and then it ends up a collection of.
Yeah, I usually just write a bunch of songs and then see how they fit together, or if they fit together, and then go from there.
Yeah. you get you like to get motivated, right? When it seems like with your songwriting, you like to take a tact and then and wrestle it to the ground. It's that's very interesting. You put a lot of your own persona in it. I think that's really
I mean, I think Emily and I have, you know, worked pretty hard to figure out our sound, you know, and it's kind of cool because we don't really have a sound either. So we're sort of, I feel like we're pretty free to explore whatever, you know.
Well, you got that acoustic guitar thing going, you got the violin going. That's definitely part of a solid sound.
Yeah, totally. And I, you know, I love it a lot, and it's just fun, and we just really love doing it.
Yeah, great. Okay, we're at the end of the first hour, October 28, 2018, Dish Watt Beatles Show. Jared Bramson, my guest from Solvents, and Emily, too. Hold tight for hour two. October 28, 2018, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
dove down the bluff above Broadway's. I'm cutting out my eyes, dying to see your expectations arrive. Everybody said you were my destiny. Just put outside and I don't want to go. Would it be so wrong if you took me along? We'll play our favorite song. Carry on.
Why for Pedro show? Take two on hour two because I fucking forgot to hit record. So I was telling Jared Emily here. Almost 18 years of doing the show, and I still fuck up like that. And which is great, because we started the second hour off with total fuck-up, and I asked him to explain this tune, and to ask somebody again to explain again the tune is fucking nightmare, but I'm going to ask you to do that, Jared, would you please?
Okay, maybe I'll do it better this time, too. total fuck up. It's kind of, it's just about when you, you know, it's a little dramatic, I guess. Sometimes you think that you're fucking up harder than you really are, maybe, and you write a stupid song about it.
Okay.
But it's pretty catchy. That's one of, it's actually one of my favorite ones.
I was going to say, in a way, if you don't pay real close attention to the words, it doesn't have kind of a bummer feel.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, it's not really a beat down. Yeah, it's very interesting how you juxtapose that. And we had Mike Rignetta after that with I'm With You, Part 2, Dustin Wong, Don't Be Ashamed, Tashi Wada and Yoshi Wada and Friends doing Double Body, King Champion Sounds with Low Hanging Fruit, and finally Everybody Said You Were My Destiny by the Solvents. And I'm going to say it again, like there's a fucking echo in here, but that sounds like a true story.
Yes, sir. It certainly is. Yeah, I mean, I try hard to you know, keep them all true. But yeah, that one's just a song I wrote for Emily.
Right. Do you think it's important, yeah, really, to be true in a song?
I think it's a balance. I think that,
yeah, because it's,
yes,
yeah, because it's kind of interesting, because sometimes you would think art might be a place where you can transcend a reality that might not be too happening.
Right. Yeah. I think that it's, I love the truth, but I love a good metaphor too, you know?
John Coltrane said he thought all musicians were after some kind of truth. So I really think that's, yeah, important. But then on the other hand, John Fogerty was born on a very Northwest Bayou, right?
Right.
Yeah, somewhere around Berkeley, yeah, or something.
Yeah.
But still a good song. Even though he imagined, yeah, all that, you know, running through the backwoods bear and shit.
Yeah, and it really takes you there, you know?
But it's not, the point I'm trying to make, kind of, is it's not true. He wasn't born on the
He wasn't at all, but maybe he was in a past life or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Good point. He also, like, Boynton, right? He liked Howlin' Wolf a lot, so Howlin' Wolf, yeah, Boynton and Toynton, you know. It's very interesting about, I guess, Boynton.
Yeah,
there's a museum music kind of thing. Once I played with Jay Maskus there where you live. And they're going to induct John Fogerty. And I got a gig. I got to play in Colorado, so I can't be there. But they wanted me to come up and do a John Fogerty song with him getting inducted, which would have fucking blown my fucking mind. But I can't do it.
You can't make it?
You can't do it. Damn. No, because I've already had this gig booked for months, and I know it's kind of lame. You know what I'm talking about? I think it was the guy who just passed away, and a partner of, God, my memory's so bad. Bill Gates.
Yeah.
What was his name? Paul Allen. Yeah. And it's kind of by where the needle is.
Yeah, the EMP or whatever, music experience.
Yeah. And there was a guy who was playing guitar in a band called President of the United States, and Stooges was playing with him. And this guy now works there and books events or something, and I got an invite, but I can't do it. But I've always wondered, you know, John Fogerty, John Coltrane, some big Johns in my life. And one guy, you know, he's kind of loose with the truth, and one guy saying, hey, it's all about the truth. But John Coltrane did say some kind of truth, because music is an expression, it's abstract. I want to play this song, Tired of Hating You.
Feeling under the weather, a high. How am I supposed to get any studying done when I'm surrounded by all this racket?
Say a book and me is a party. Add coffee and it's an orgy. Drowsy Java liquid midnight wraps itself around me. I say a book and me is a party. Sorry if that sounds selfish. I'm drinking in the calm before my next creative crisis. The air shaft's a cat bordello. They must really love the echo. And the bird jazz combo tries to run from someone's crapped out stereo. The solo so tuxedo, and I ache to stay this painless. I'm numb inside the calm before my next financial crisis. So I read some beatnik typing to the tune of two cats screwing. And the plumbing in my building buds like Afro-Cuban drumming. The carpet heaves with Hendrix, and the Guzmans fight next door. The Kramer's dogs are barking. Upstairs, they're moving the furniture again. Oh, I live in a box of noise. Then my crazy Catholic neighbor with his firecracker temper carpet bombs the air shaft with a string of lady fingers. Your cat's a slut, he screams at me like his is such a nun. I'm cloistered in the calm before my next romantic crisis. Then there's a fire engine screaming like a saxophone coal training. Is there a Chinese menu bonfire in the foyer of our building? Our building. There's a bird outside my only window, and it's chirping out of tune. Thank you.
gonna rain. It's gonna rain like you've never seen before. It's gonna rain like heaven packed out and sky fell out. It's gonna rain. Ooh, it's gonna rain. You say life is a bowl of cherries. You give me a bowl of pits. The pits will grow into trees one day. I'm getting my cherries anyway. Maybe so, maybe so. I'm just living on tiptoe. Feel like so-so. Try not to step on your eggs. Cause I know it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. A bowl of cherries while trying to hide your bowl of pit. Don't tip my bowl. Don't crush my cherries. One day you'll get your trees and all. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. I'm just living on tiptoe. Feeling like so-so. Trying not to step on your eggs. Cause I know it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Houses are slipping into the ocean. Shops and gyms are slipping into the ocean. Shake your vessels. Break your pretzels. Cause it's gonna rain. Shake your vessels. Break your pretzels. It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain.
Watt from Pedro Show. Tired of hating you from the Solvents. I don't think that needs probably an explanation. The Healers with Boom Didn't Need You. Guided by Voices. You were talking about this band. Hudson Rake. Chris Butler out of Cleveland. I think Bob Pollard's Dayton. So Chris Butler out of Cleveland with Boxing Noise. Shumsky, Croatia, with Melancholia. Melancholy, probably. And Yoko Ono, brand new record, 85 years old. Go Yoko. It's going to rain.
Yeah.
And finally, Solvents. Now this one has, this has got hate in the title. Haters Stars.
But yeah.
It's trippy. You want to talk about the Haters Stars?
There's not, there's really just, I was just kind of having fun with wordplay on that song. There's nothing really too deep about it or anything. I just like, it just came together and it sounded kind of cool and poetic, I guess.
What's your take on it? What Haters Stars?
I don't know. it's just
because like, you know,
sometimes
you don't have a apostrophe there, so it's plural.
It's just, you know, you pick up a guitar and shit just comes out of your mouth sometimes, you know.
Like the haters are the stars. They're the center of the show or some shit. I mean, it don't have to make sense, of course not. You know, you don't have to explain these kind of things. I was just curious. It's
I honestly,
like I said, with Tired of Hating You, I don't really have to. That's kind of, I could make a good guess on that, baby. But Haters Stars, I kept reading that over and over, and like, what? You know, maybe that's a good thing to do, because it makes you know what I mean. You don't take it for granted. You have to put your mind on. I mean, you must write songs that don't ever make it to the recording stage, right? Throw away?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Lots.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm pretty critical. So, and I think I feel like I've become a pretty good editor. So, yeah, I'll kick songs to the curb all the time.
And then, I mean, completely, they're gone. You, like, erase the shit.
Well, no, because sometimes you can go back and, you know, pull little parts out.
Sure.
Maybe if you wait a year and you go back and listen and you're like, oh, that's actually, you know, that's actually really great.
You know, there's writers.
This melody's really good.
Painters that, like, just destroy works. Like, who did I have on last? Dallas Acid, I think. And we were talking about Franz Kafka, you know, he wanted everything burned.
Mm-hmm.
And as Max Brod, his buddy, didn't keep his promise, and that's why we can read The Trial and, you know, The Castle and America and that stuff. So, some people are very precious. Like, if it ain't right, then I don't want anybody to witness it. I would maybe consider myself, it's like you're kind of growing up in front of people so they can see all the lame songs.
Totally.
Or here, have to wade through the lame songs. Oh man, I was going back and playing some songs I wrote in the Minutemen days, and some of these songs Minutemen never played. The guys, hey man, that ain't good enough. I can see why, but in another way, looking back, it is kind of like the arc of your journey. So maybe. I don't know. It's a tricky thing to think about. Because, like you were saying, editor. Editor is almost as important as creator in a way.
I think it's good to be able to critically edit yourself, I guess. Because, at least for me, I work pretty hard at that, you know, and really thinking about is this worth people hearing or not, you know?
Like the idea of filler. Yeah, you don't want any filler. Right? All killer.
I would prefer not to have any, but you know how it goes.
You try your best. You aim for the fence.
Yep.
You swing for the fence. Yeah.
Sure.
It is trippy about songwriting. It's almost like throwing dice. The thing is, though, you can go back. Do you do that? Like, oh, man, this ain't working out, and I'll leave it alone for a while. Then they come back to it.
Oh, yeah, totally. Sometimes I do that on purpose. I'll write, like, a verse and a chorus and then drop it, you know? And then maybe come back in a couple months with a different perspective and write a bridge, you know?
Sure, sure. I know a guy named Franklin. He's writing a book all about the idea of the bridge.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because if you look, actually, some musics don't have them, like blues. Here we're getting into the genre stuff again. Yeah, there's no third part. Well, a lot of time there's no second part. There's, what's that song? The Lime and the Coconut, Harry Nilsson? I think it's one part. And we're at the end of the second hour, October 28, 2018 edition, Hot Pedro Show, special guest Jared Bramson, Emily Solvents. Hold tight for hour three. October 28, 2018, it's the third hour. Walk from Pedro Show.
How many times you been walking around this place? One day you woke up and said you wanted to run away. Too many hearts broke, too many not so cool escapes. Trapdoors, you're gonna fall through the telescope, but I want you to know you're okay. Ooh, 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 ooh. You might have heard how they're just fighting to stay alive. Too many bottles, too many whiskey slips on ice. I've paid them all, can't you see? I've got somewhere to be, and I don't want to stand in this line. To run away.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start the third hour off with Ballad of Key City, The Solids. And speaking of cities, people, I remember the sub base up there by where Jared and Emily live. Bremerton is the name. It just, and for some reason, I wanted it to start with an E in it. E, B, yeah, they sound close. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, Key. What is Key City?
Port Townsend was supposed to be like San Francisco, essentially, and they decided not to run the railroad out here,
okay.
And it killed the town. But Port Townsend was going to be the key city.
Ah, key is like number one, like essential.
Yeah, totally, totally. Okay.
David Gerard after that with Langer, Mold Omen, Cruel Gun Story, Julie Slick with Min Min Zemi, great bass player, and Yurt from Dublin with Mog's Brain Tumor Diagnosis. Yeah, they're punk rocker guys who've gotten into Prague.
Oh, wow.
Just the whole trip of music, man, is a beautiful thing. What about touring? Mm-hmm. The Solvents tour?
Yeah, we have toured. It's been a little while, but we're definitely wanting to get out again pretty soon.
And you tour as a two-piece?
We've done both. We've done a full band and two-piece. We did. We've done a couple self-booked Europe tours, just the two of us.
Yeah.
And then we've done with a band, like a four-piece rock band version. We've done, you know, the West Coast and around through the kind of Southwest a couple times. And Emily and I have done, you know, but just the two of us, we've done a lot more than with the full band.
Well, probably a lot easier to do, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
More room in the boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Less dudes to deal with.
Speaking of interesting titles, I want to play this song here. It's called Lips Like a Juggalo. Is this like those rapper guys? In Detroit?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, totally. The clown guys.
Yeah, they wear clown makeup. Yeah. And they like to spray each other with soda, right? What's a Fango? Some shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Just the idea of like orange soda in your fucking hair, you know? Oh, God.
Horrible, right?
Yeah. And anyway, but what gave you the ammunition to write this one.
So we were on tour. This was a while ago. And we were in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And I was at the library, and I'm going towards the elevator, and the elevator door opened, and these two clown kids came walking out.
Okay.
And it scared the shit out of me. Like, I didn't know what the fuck it was, you know? I was like, what the fuck was that? And then, you know, after that, I sort of ended up figuring out this whole Juggalo culture and kind of jumping in on YouTube and I became really fascinated with it. And, you know, just studied it a bit and just tripped out on it for a little while, it's just such a strange scene. I just couldn't resist having to jump up there and check it out.
You know what's kind of trippy is you're on tour, Salt Lake City. Why are you at the library?
Because it was super hot. It was really hot, and
library's cool.
My friend, yeah, okay. My friend who lived there at the time was like, hey, we can go hang out at the library. They've got AC. I mean, we just had nothing to do, you know? And, I think he was sober at the time. So, you know, we didn't want to go sit in a bar. So we just ended up going to the library.
Okay. Yeah. I like libraries. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
I remember, my library on tour story. This happened a lot of times with Minutemen. Me and D Boone get some beef over some factual controversy, you know, who was right by remembering something. And we would find the library because we didn't have the Wikipedia and shit yet, right? So we would find the library, find the books, and prove, you know, one guy would prove the other motherfucker wrong, you know.
So you guys were on tour looking for libraries.
A bunch of times. I can't tell you. Over 10 times. We stopped to settle arguments. We would stop at libraries and try to get the factual information.
Oh, man. You know. That's so great. I mean, yeah, you had to do that back then, you know, because...
I guess we could have let it go, but, you know, we get into these little beefs. It was King Henry IV. No, it wasn't. It was Henry III. He's the one who had to walk barefoot in the snow so he wouldn't be excommunicated. Oh, yeah? Was that Pope Lion, you know, Leo? Or...
Yeah.
It would be shit like that, like really minutia. It'd be insane, but it helped the drives go by quicker in a way. We'll play Lips Like a Juggler.
Where you wanna go? second if I was in need or poor and begging. So everything I ever want I'm taking from you and you and you and you and you. Guess the only way to say it clear is to repeat it into your ear. So here you go, here you go, here. I take it all for granted. I wake up empty-handed. I'm
think the band sued. I think I considered a gang or something. And then they're like, hey, man, we just make music.
Yeah, I mean, I think the FBI sort of tried to label them as a gang. And they're really just, you know, a bunch of a bunch of kids. Yeah. You know,
they're dressing up. They're kind of like Halloween every day, huh?
I guess so, yeah. It's weird, you know. I mean, and a lot of the kids, it's sort of like, you know, broken home, hard upbringing, finding this this family that, you know, that supports them.
Yeah, people were talking about the inspiration for Lips Like a Juggalo. Last music for this edition. After that was Cap Gun Coup with I Don't Care, Emil and the Sniffers, Westgate, this is some Australia stuff here, Drunk Mums, Piss the Bed. Yeah, I wonder what that one's about. Mod Vigil with Bad Day. Bamberg, David Nusselhoff with his Orion Safari. And then finally, Reckless Reborn, The Solvents. I like that idea. Reckless, but reborn.
Reckless Reborn.
Yeah. It's like, you do like to have fun with words. So, if people want to find you on the internet, Jared, where do they go?
We're kind of, you know, if we're on Spotify, we're on YouTube. It's pretty easy.
Is there a Solvents website?
You know, we don't have one right now.
But you're going to get one, right? Because everybody needs a website. It's like having your own fanzine. We don't all have to meet a fucking fake look shitter and instant ham.
Yeah,
no, that's my funny little. That's my funny little sermon about that stuff. But you go to GoDaddy or something and get a website. Have that too in case all that other shit goes down. But people look for them at the other thing. Solvents, Solvents, from Port.
Port Townsend.
Yeah, Port Townsend. You probably put that in there too. Have you found there's another Solvents out there in the world?
I haven't. There was these kids in England who they started a band called The Solvents, and I think I can't remember if they contacted me or I contacted them, and we had a little discussion or whatever. I was like, hey, just so you guys know, we've had this name for a while, and they said, okay, thanks for letting us know.
Oh, and they didn't go for it?
No, I think they stopped. I think they changed their band name.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty. I was pretty polite about it. Just didn't. You know.
Anyway, people, go find them. Listen to these records. I love their music and this good band. And I can't wait when you come out. You work on another one. You said. Flow my way so we can get it out there and let me listen to it and get all lit from it. Jared, Emily, it's been really an honor. Have you aboard. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. It's a real pleasure. It's good to hear your voice.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
And keep on keeping on. And keep that keel in the water. People, it's been the Watt for Pedro Show, October 28, 2018 edition. Special guests, Emily Jared of Solvents. Keep your powder dry.